You got the rock in your hand. You're under pressure, son. You better sink this J,
or your team is done.
I got a little story about some basketball. When it comes to my player, are you rock or nah? But wait just a minute and listen first, as I get some shit off my chest and I finish this verse. Let me start with you cheesers. Y'all should just fade. With LaMarcus on quick, hitting threes all day. With you cowboy hat, you might be the word. Wearing them puffy ass jackets, man, you almost be cursed. Then there's the manual pajamas with the jump shot of who? I bet it's Kyle Korver. That would make sense, dude. But enough about apparel that will get you in trouble. Just stand on up and do that 2K shuffle.
Bat and bat, I do the 2K shuffle.
Welcome to the Church of Jump Shot Jesus. This is the NBA 2K Shuffle. My name is Michael Parr, a.k.a. You Just Heard, a.k.a. J. Parr Swish, a.k.a. Mikey Chameleonaire. I've never taken a shot that I did not like. And with me is the Baron of Boards and Blocks, Blocks and Boards, Max Jedediah McDonald. What it is, Max?
Never gets old. I thought you had a good intro today, man. You did a good job.
Thanks, had a new
nickname in there, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I had orange juice today. All right, well, on today's show, we are going to go over a couple recent Twitter polls that we did on Twitter and talk a little bit about some 2K My Player tips and some 2K Potpourri. So let's just kind of jump in with the Twitter polls that I spoke of earlier. And the first question was, what was the toughest archetype to guard in NBA 2K17? Playmaker/point forward, sharpshooter/stretch big, slasher/athletic finisher, or shot creator? What do you think the results were?
I think the sharpshooter took the poll. What happened?
Sharpshooter was dead last. Leading the way was playmaker point forward at 35%, shot creator at 30%, which was my vote, slasher, athletic finisher at 26%, and sharpshooter at 9%. It is
nice.
It's different. It's nice to see that people struggle with everything, I guess. I don't know. Just wanted to get an idea. I thought there might be an overwhelming, I thought it was going to be playmaker sharpshooter. But for the most part, it looks like that is not the case. Now, our second Twitter question was, is NBA Live 18 demo wonky, janky, surprisingly good, or just all right? What do you think? And what did you
go for? I went with my word janky just because to support the clause, or the cause, rather, not the clause. I don't know. Honestly, I saw how the results went, and I was a little bit surprised by the results in that they were surprisingly good. But I don't know. I mean, the demo was pretty good overall, so I can't complain.
All right. Well, at 54%, as you said, we had surprisingly good. 25%, we had wonky. Yeah. At 13%, we had just all right. And Jinky comes in at 8%. Now, a lot of people are loving this game. I still can't get over the camera angle and the shooting, man. I can't do it. Like, there are a lot of great things, like you said. And, you know, obviously, if you haven't listened to the last episode, we kind of critique the entire demo a lot more in depth than we are going to right here. But I don't know, man. Maybe this is saying something for EA.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they put out a decent enough product that they'll probably get to make another one next year, and we'll see if they can make a dent in the market.
Indeed, we will. Now, Max, what are our 2K My Player tips, and what did we learn this year?
Well, I think we've learned a lot of different things over the 2K, and especially because it sounds like 2K18 will play somewhat similarly to 2K17, though smoother and just a more all-around well-rounded game. That is one thing they've said, and it, you know, basically applies to the idea that 2K17 was a beta, but again, I don't know how many times we have to mention that. Seems like it pops up once every few shows. Anyway, so my player stuff we learned this year just about builds in general. Obviously, it'll be a bit different in 2K18. It's a bit different every year, but I think this year, especially since they're going to continue with the archetype system, although it will be a little bit different, you know, we kind of learned how some of these builds are meant to play out over the next couple 2Ks, I bet, and it'll just kind of move along to the next next couple games. The sharpshooter build obviously is going to be able to shoot from very deep range. That's one of the things they can stress him for hugely. And with the way the tuning and the sliders are in the my player modes, is it allows you to shoot from deep very consistently, and that just kind of breaks the game a little bit, but that's the way they want it. You know, we've learned some different things about, you know, shot creators are off the dribble shots, which are theoretically bad shots, but they can hit those on money. Just, you know, we've learned different things about how archetypes are going to play, and then we can kind of take those ideas and move them on toward the next game.
Would you say, you being a person who's made several archetypes, you found that to be beneficial to your overall 2K game? And if so, what in particular kind of shaped your knowledge consumption?
Well, I would say that it was beneficial for me having made a bunch of different archetypes, because I've played with a bunch of different builds. Even I had a 6'7 lockdown defender, a 6'11 power forward lockdown defender, some different stuff that I played with. You know what? While we're at it, let's just run through all my builds. I made a 6'3 playmaker. I have a 6'6 sharpshooter. I have a 6'7 lockdown. I have a 6'8 slasher, a 6'10 point forward, and a 6'11 lockdown power forward. I also have the 6'3 glass cleaner, like we mentioned in the experiment. Haven't used him as much as the others, obviously, but I have that one. I have a 7'3 post score, which I really didn't like, and then I also have a 6'8 shot creator. I've grinded about five of those characters to like the max levels, and then it's always going to be a max level, haha. But I've grinded a bunch of those characters.
I'm not going to be here.
We don't need you anymore, Mike. It's just me.
Let's go.
It's just me. No, but anyway, I guess what we're saying over all this is that it's really helped me to kind of accept what my true play style is. And I don't know, man. It's hard to really describe what I'm trying to say. I guess, you're specializing in one area for the most part. So either you're making the most of that area or you're not. And if you can do other things with that archetype, then that's great, and you can kind of figure out what you may need to be having the highest ratings in, what you may not need. It's hard for me to maybe tell somebody, oh, you want to do this or that, because everybody does play differently. You know, it's something that you really just kind of have to feel. I mean, me, I can't stand being a sharpshooter. I can't stand looking for my shots, especially bringing the ball up and doing that. It has me looking for shots as opposed to looking for passes. You, on the other hand, never taking the shots you did not like. And did you say that in the intro? I'm not sure. I don't remember if you said that in the intro.
I think but I had orange juice today.
You had an orgy today or some orange juice? What did you say there?
Both at the same time. It was kind of fun.
Oh, an orange juice orgy. Got it.
Yeah, there.
But, you know, I mean, so that's something that's a bit different even just between you and I. And we play basketball together. I mean, obviously we're going to play different roles if we're playing at the same time with each other, but you know, we share a lot of the same ideas about the game, and yet we still are very different in our approach to how we like to play.
I agree. Now, in trying these different archetypes out, do you feel like maybe there's a certain combination for Pro-Am that would work better than another combination, or do you think it's just based on the people you're playing with, you know, their basketball IQ, or lack thereof, if you will?
Well, do you mean a combination of archetypes of the five archetypes? Is that what you're asking? Or you mean...
Right, like, you know, like, yeah, four playmakers and a rim protector, you know, for example.
That could be interesting, actually. No. Speaking of that, too, one thing I've really wanted to run is five lockdowns on the floor at the same time, but I haven't really had the people to run it with, so it hasn't taken form in this 2K, but I think that could be something pretty dirty. But, no, I mean, overall, in Prom, you need the shooting, so I always like to have... I mean, and again, everyone kind of likes to play a little bit differently, but especially if you see me play some of my league games and stuff, I like to have as many shooters on the floor at one time. I'm a big proponent of the drive and kick game. So if you've got somebody at the point guard who can kind of make some plays, get into the lane, draw the defense, because you really need somebody to do that, whether it's your point guard or however you're going to play it. But that really is basketball at its core. Even if you're throwing it into a post score every time, even if you're, you know, just whatever your offense is going to be, you have to have a way to essentially draw another defender and hit an open man. I mean, you can't just making shots over people and through people playing one-on-one basketball is only going to take you so far. So my opinion is you want as much shooting as possible. I would say maybe a playmaker, three sharpshooters, and a glass cleaner or something to that effect. But you could get by if you had a playmaker who was good enough who could shoot some threes. when needed, maybe make a playmaker, two sharpshooters, a lockdown defender who can run around, and then a glass cleaner, or just kind of depends. But you basically need to be able to space the floor no matter what you're doing. And honestly, floor spacing is key, and playing to your archetype is key. That's something that we ran into with a few random people we were playing with tonight, actually. And just in general, if you're not playing to your archetype, and we've mentioned that in shows before, it really hinders you. That's not to say that you can't do things that are outside of your archetype, but if you're a sharpshooter and you're constantly just trying to be in the lane, that's not helping your team. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. If you're conversely, I mean, if you're a slasher and you're always standing outside, I mean, you're not cutting, you're doing stuff like that doesn't help. I mean, just stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, what say you?
I mean, I've found that in making certain archetypes, I have archetypes that only work if the people I play with understand my archetype. Can't tell you how many times I play with a group of people, my post score, I go down there and get in the post, and I sit there 7, 8, 9 possessions in a row without getting the ball. And to them, they don't think I'm open. But if I'm posting somebody up, I am. And to me, it's kind of a waste because you're a post scorer, you're supposed to score in the post. That's your archetype. If you don't get the ball on there, it's not a fun thing to do. And at the same time, like with my sharpshooter, I like you had mentioned, I like to bring the ball up and get my own shot sometimes. And sometimes there's too many shooters on the floor. It's hard to get into a rhythm or get to a spot on the floor, especially if, I mean, constantly I play with people where I'm running to a corner that somebody else is running to, and then I run to another corner someone else is there. So that being said, I just think every archetype does have an advantage to it, and I feel like sometimes that people play not enough to their archetype, but they also don't take the things that 2K has gifted you. Like, we've talked about this ad nauseum about taking mid-range shots. You know, things of that nature. You just kind of have to embrace, especially if you're on a team that's running, like, three slashers or a glass cleaner, an athletic finisher, or whatever. And you are a slasher on that team. Well, obviously the paint's going to be kind of crowded, but you can still get the ball and hit your mid-range shot. And as long as you're constantly moving on the floor, creating space for everyone, it shouldn't be a big problem.
I would agree.
So my next question for you, involving the archetype system, is there a archetype that is all forgiving? And what I mean by that is, say you're playing with some people you don't know, and you want to be able to do as much as you can to help the team win. Is there a set archetype that you feel is great at doing that, whereas it's not just like a, hey, you only shoot, and hey, you only dunk, and hey, you only get boards? Like, have you come across that archetype this year?
It depends on if you're playing park or pro-am a little bit, but either way, like I have a 6'11". Lockdown defender power forward. I can bring that character into the park, into the prime, and not worry about who I'm playing with, because I know that I'll be able to help the team, because I know that furthermore, I'm just with my rebounding. That's the character that I can get rebounds with. And so I know I'm going to be able to get rebounds, play defense, be able to pass, do some different things to really help the team. And it doesn't matter if I get the ball, because even if I'm playing with randoms who don't know how to play, it's going to work out. Well, I mean, it may not work out, but it'll all be able to contribute. That's what I'm saying. But, so that's something good. Glass cleaners are in general good archetypes to play with, because you can pretty much always get the rebounds and stuff. That's something that allows you to contribute no matter whether you're getting the ball or not, because that's something, again, you can do on your own. That's about it as far as I'm thinking off the top of my head, because, you know, if you're going to be a point forward or playmaker or something of that sort, you need the ball, obviously. That's what your archetype's about. You're going to be a sharpshooter, obviously your archetype's about shooting and those kinds of things. Shot creator, same difference. Slasher, again, that one is a bit more, too, because if you make smart cuts, maybe your teammates will see you open. People tend to want to throw to the paint more, just in general. I see a lot of bad basketball being played where people just try to throw in the paint a lot, which, again, if you're a good cutter and can time your cuts and things, people will probably end up throwing it to you. So slasher could be something where you could end up, again, just it'll work out with some randoms. What's something else, man? I mean, I think that's about it.
Well, let me jump in on that. Smart cuts are definitely a good thing, but you need smart teammates to recognize your smart cut. You know, I'm just kind of in a lull right now because, I mean, look, we've played with a lot of different people this year, man. And if you're looking at like a graph, if you will, there's been really high moments and there's been really low moments, and the in between really isn't there. And if you're somebody who, let's just say you love being a playmaker, like I encourage you to play as another archetype, to get a feel for other archetypes, because it really does help you understand what benefits come from those archetypes. And then, you know, as a player, you know, you can recognize situations, you know, like I talked about, like if you see post score open the post to go down there, you know, you see a slasher cutting or, you know, what have you, it's very, very beneficial to help round your game, especially pro-am wise. Because like Max in the park, you essentially can take anything to the park and be pretty good. Maybe not a glass cleaner, but I've seen them there and I've seen them do well. But understanding how, it's almost like, hey, you don't have to be a mechanic, okay, to understand completely how a car works. Everyone, you know, you get your car, you drive around, everything like that. Does it help if you know how to change your own oil? Of course. If you understand how that stuff works and you become more knowledgeable about your car, you know, you could save yourself from going into a repair shop and getting ripped off. At the end of the day, a greater knowledge of the entire game of basketball, and specifically 2K and in the Pro-Am, knowing the archetypes you're playing with will go a long way in helping create a better basketball.
Yeah, I would agree again. And I'll just kind of segue off of that to some general tips and stuff. What kind of goes hand in hand with that, for me at least, is that I find in general people are looking at themselves with the ball. They are looking at themselves dribbling, looking to get a shot. And it's like real life. People aren't looking up. They're not playing heads up basketball. They're more so focused on a closer view. It's like tunnel vision, basically. So what happens is then someone, it kind of gets caught and they throw it to the closest person they see, or things like that. Whereas if you play heads up basketball, I mean, personally, I don't even really look at my actual character hardly ever. I mean, I do, but it's more so I'm scanning the floor constantly to make the right pass, to see who's open, see how I can draw the defense, things of that nature. And again, it kind of depends on what archetype you are, I guess, but I'm always looking for positioning and things like that. I said to someone, I think it was last night, actually, we were playing, and I was like, oh, shot or whatever, and they actually weren't open. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's only because I kind of half looked over there because I was looking at, you know, what, something else on the floor. I forget what it was at the time, but it's just constantly having your head up and seeing what needs to happen will help you a lot in those situations.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll tell you, like when I run with my sharpshooter and there's another sharpshooter on the floor, kind of one of my favorite setups, because I don't ever intend to run to the hoop and get layups and dunks. But when I drive in, I'm looking to kick out to that other sharpshooter, because a lot of people just tend to collapse that paint regardless. And, you know, a lot of times, Those sharpshooters drive the lane when you're driving the lane too, and they don't understand the concept of spacing. And, you know, when you play with someone that understands the concept of spacing, like a 3-point bucket's huge. And when you have, I mean, this is common sense, but maybe you're not thinking about it this way, but, you know, you drive and you kick a few times, that defense is going to have to start spreading out to prevent that from happening. When that happens, the lane opens up, and then your slashers, your athletic finishers can get in there and go to work. And so, yeah, it's fun to be the man and be the player and have the ball all the time, but if you want to have success on the floor and you want to play in the E-League, or you want to compete for that money next year in the tournament, just think about good basketball. And, you know, one thing, I mean, it's been more for me this year, especially lately, that I just, you have to think, is this a good decision? You know, I want to do this, but should I do this? And it's not always that, it's not that slow, but you got to think quickly. And it's the world's not going to end if you pass. If you pass the ball to somebody and you're not sure about a shot, or you feel like you're in a bad position, then pass the fucking ball. The more passes you make in a possession sometimes is probably better, would you say?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if anyone's ever seen me play a my league game, which many of our, I don't know about our listeners, but I'm swinging that ball all over the place. It's kind of ridiculous, to be honest. And it really helps to kind of break down the defense. You make the right pass, make someone else cut. Because if you hold the ball for a second, it allows the defense to recover and reset. It allows, I mean, it's those little things that are just kind of a split second or whatever that really make or break a possession. And it clogs things up.
Yeah, but you know, like staying sharp on the floor and recognizing things, especially on the offensive end, matters. You just need to know that you have to have trust in your teammates, which is really hard to do sometimes, but at the end of the day, if you guys are on the same page, you'll win more games than us.
Yeah, no, that is true. And what's funny is kind of going with all that is I even see, you know, people might think about this advice and be like, oh, well, you know, I'm a good player and I know when to see what's going on and all that. But, man, I watch top teams play and they suck, man. They can't. They don't know how to move the ball. I see guys take such bad shots constantly, and it's almost laughable. And then they wonder why they lose, and they're like, oh, we took good shots, we played good deeds. Ah, man, there were a lot of possessions that you gave away by taking a half-assed shot. That yeah, maybe it's a decent shot, but you could have gotten a great shot. And they're just situations like that. People are too quick to pull the trigger. I mean, you don't want to be scared to shoot by any means, but it's. Again, the whole notion of Spurs basketball, man, it really does win games. It's the reason those guys have been so successful for so long. And it's not like, well, it's a video game. I mean, real-life basketball concepts do work. Playing good basketball will win you games.
Yeah, and, you know, as cliche as it is, your team is only going to be as strong as your weakest link. So it only takes one person to ruin a team. So that doesn't mean, hey, kick Johnny off the team because he sucks. Help Johnny out. See if Johnny can get better. Talk to Johnny.
Poor Johnny.
Johnny's receptive and wants to get into it and is okay with, you know, constructive criticism. You have the makings of having a good team potentially. But if Johnny is standoffish and can't, you know, take constructive criticism, by no means you don't have to be a dick. You can't be like, hey, Johnny, you fucking sucks. Get the ball up. No, like, hey, Johnny, you really could have passed to Joe over there in the corner. He was open. Also, you know, your defender's kind of playing you to the right. So if you go to the left, you have more space. And if Johnny's like, oh, man, thanks, because you know what? I want to be a better player. That works. But trust me, not everybody is receptive.
Definitely not. I mean, just you kind of have to figure out who you're playing with and those things. But, yeah, I couldn't really set it better.
All right, so let's kind of move along here to NBA 2K18. Now, we've heard some rumors about secondary archetype system coming in. Not really too many details coming forth. How would you implement a secondary archetype system to make it the most beneficial?
Well, the most beneficial or the most well done?
I would kind of think those things go hand in hand.
Well, when you said most beneficial, in my mind, I'm thinking most beneficial toward the players because we all want to be superstars versus the best thing as far as they want balanced archetypes and everything.
Yeah, we'll say that. Just to give you the most diverse, balanced group of players on the floor. Because I think that's kind of what they're aiming to do is to get, you know, hey, three sharpshooters, but no, hey, this sharpshooter can shoot or this sharpshooter is a good defender. Like, you're kind of meshing that together. I guess my question is, what... Let's say you're the developers.
developers.
If you're the developer, what would you personally do to the archetype system?
I mean, I like the primary and secondary archetype thing that's been kind of floating around. I think all you would really have to do is basically make it the primary archetype is essentially what our archetypes are now, as far as the Grand Badge, all the Hall of Fame badges. Just everything the same. But you would also add in a secondary archetype that you would also be good at. You could maybe even make it the same rated stats or rating for some of the numbers, but you just wouldn't get the upgraded badges for those. You would only be able to get bronze. Another way to do it would be similar to what Live has actually done with basically they have primary and secondary skills, and the secondary skills essentially, you're not as good at those skills. So you have your primary skills, which would be the 90, whatever, and then your secondary skills only go up to like 83 or something like that. I mean, just whatever it is. And you might be thinking, well, yeah, we have some stuff like that already, but it would just add more to your game because you'd kind of have those arbitrary or ancillary, is the word I'm looking for, skills as well, plus the ones that would be a part of your second archetype. So. That's kind of what I would do with it personally, but it really, because even that alone, you could be a playmaker sharpshooter, so you could have shooting along with your playmaker, and you could be a sharpshooter playmaker. You would have all the shooting stuff, but you would also have ball handling. You could be, I mean, there's variations even within the same two archetypes if you do it primary and secondary.
Yeah, I agree. And me, one of the things that didn't make any sense to me this year was, you know, you had bronze badges, silver badges, gold badges. So once you got the bronze, you could just pay for the silver and then pay for the gold and earn the Hall of Fame, which to me was dumb. I mean, you're not really earning those two in the middle. And I think, hey, maybe you get your 5 Hall of Fame badges and you can pick your 1 gold badge and 2 silver badges, you know, to help complement your player. I think that's something they can do as well, because I think the more diverse each player is, the better experience it will be, and the more competition, or the more the competition will be competitive. Because, I mean, look, at the end of the day, you're not reading a fucking scouting report on these people that we play. Oh, 92 overall sharpshooter. Well, great. What else can they do? Oh, well, you know what? He's a lockdown defender too. He's got, you know, he's got gold pickpocket. So, you know what? I'm a playmaker. I got to get this ball out of my hands because I know that, you know, I'm playing this guy. You're not going to know. You're not going to know the secondary archetype. At least to my knowledge, I don't think they're going to express what they are. You know, the more different A, B, C, D, and E is from each other, you know, it's going to be fun. And at this point, keeping everything the same would be kind of conjecture and kind of just like, blah, blah, blah. But hopefully these changes that do come in get implemented and we kind of see a nice little ball rolling in the direction of unique. I would like each of my players to be uniquely different in probably as many different ways as you possibly can. How many Kevin Durants are out there in the world? How many, Who is the point guard of his team?
I don't know. It might be Steph Curry.
Who is Steph Curry? Fuck Steph Curry. White-skinned bitch. Push that bitch. He ain't shit. He just a bitch. Shooting up threes. Can't take it to the hole because he a bitch. His bitch on my dick. Yeah, his daughter is ugly as fuck. And his son look like a mutt. But yeah, I mean, like everybody in the NBA for the most part, even your superstars, are all different in a bunch of different ways. Now, you'll have your collections of players, and I've put a lot of thought in this. Maybe you don't get that silver or gold badge until you reach a certain level, or you do so many things in your career, whatever it is. I don't know. But let's just hope that they can kind of come up with a system that benefits everybody.
Yeah, they definitely need to change it a little bit, and I think they will, to make it a more well-rounded and more diverse system. And I think I have good expectations for it, positive expectations, not high expectations, just because it's 2K and I always temper my expectations with them. But I do have a positive feeling about what they might be doing with it, even though they haven't released much information.
And like yourself, your expectations are high, and that's just something that we look forward to. I feel for the most part, they'll get it right. Now, let's kind of close the show here and let you guys know that next episode, we will be giving out one of the copies of NBA 2K18. If you are one of the first 15 people to write a review on iTunes, follow us on Twitter, and then DM us your picture of your review, you can win the game, and it's that easy. I mean, 2 copies out of 15 people is fantastic, and then obviously the week after that, we'll give out the last copy. So hit us up on Twitter, at NBA2KShuffle. You can always follow us on Facebook, too. Just do the search for the NBA 2KShuffle on Facebook. And most importantly, if you're going to follow us on Twitter, hey, take part in conversations. Hit us up. We're always willing to help, and always looking for people to run with, right?
Yes, sir.
So that's what we're going to do. So in the meantime, hug your mom, tip your waitresses, stay mellow. Catch you next time on the 2K Shuffle.
I'm out this bitch.